Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. If you don't have a copy of my book, you can get the first six chapters free as a download on my website, www.karencam.com. Also comes with a bunch of free holistic health classes that you can view right on your computer. They're all recorded, so you can view them anytime you wish. So come join me on my mailing list. And today we have back Stephen Sweden because we are so very, very interested. This is part two on how we can get rid of or deter so-called pests, animal pests, from our environment when we're trying to grow a garden, when we're trying to live in our home. We don't want this, you know, mouse running across our foot at night, you know, when we're watching TV or something like that. Or, you know, how about when we're outdoors and there are, like, flies and mosquitoes, or, you know, maybe the next door neighbor has some sort of swamp, or, you know, which is what we have. The next door neighbor has this protected, area, and it's not – they don't really do anything with it, but it's protected wetlands, and so it's kind of still water, and so it kind of – there's a lot of mosquitoes, black flies at certain times of the year. So we want to pick Stephen's brain here to see what we can do naturally. In the first part of the show, he explained a lot about toxicity and how dangerous it is to even have small amounts of these toxins in our homes can contribute to cancer. So we have some questions now from the community on what they want to know about is, number one, they wanted to review how can we make our homes as mouse-free as possible. Number two, for those that garden, they want to know how they can prevent deer from eating their vegetables or flowers when there's so many other things they can eat around here in the Adirondacks. Number three, how to get rid of bears or how to deter bears from coming around your place, if that's even possible. And, of course, number four, what I just mentioned about deterring or getting rid of or reducing the number of flies or mosquitoes so we can enjoy our outdoors. So thank you, Stephen, for coming back on the show.
I enjoyed being on the show the first time.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. All right. So so first of all, before we get kind of launching into some of the questions that people had posted and asked, you mentioned that you have a toxic-free enzyme product that is something you can use in your home for all sorts of cleaning. And I want to ask you more about that. Like, number one, how does it work as a pest deterrent? And number two, why enzymes? I mean, it sounds very natural and non-toxic.
When I was in pest control, I got poisoned to the point that I couldn't function. And when I found a way to detox by using sauna and vitamin supplements, I got back so that my IQ came back to an extremely high level, and I could do the multiplication table. I couldn't do simple math when I was so poisoned.
Wow.
The pesticides. So When I came to, as it were, after the sauna regimen for about 4.5 weeks, and that's written a little bit by L. Ron Hubbard, Clean Body, Clear Mind. The sauna is how you take out toxins along with niacin and some supplements.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on just for a second. So what took place was when I got all that poison out of me, I had the situation, how do I make a living, because I'm a pest control guy that can't handle pesticides. So I had to come up with alternatives to control pests. And when I did, I ended up coming up with literally thousands of them that are far more effective than pesticides, and that they don't hurt me or the customers or the people I deal with or the environment. One of the things I came up with was an enzyme cleaner that basically I noticed that any cleaner whatsoever, any cleaner, whether it's glass cleaner or dish soap or whatever, laundry detergent, whatever. Strippers, what any cleaner you have will kill insects better than any pesticide ever thought of. So it's really amazing to me that anybody would ever bother to use pesticides when it doesn't work. So we're sitting back and saying to you, here I have a problem trying to remove pests, and I can't use pesticides, but soap water will do a better job than pesticides. But it doesn't have any residual effect. And so I said, well, what else can we do to it? And as I began to experiment and do some work in the lab, I found out that one of the greatest things in the world is a protease enzyme. Now, every time a scorpion or a spider bites a pest, it ingests protease enzyme into, injects protease enzyme into that pest, that insect, or whatever it's feeding on. And nothing can survive a scorpion or a spider bite. As I said, what are they injecting? What is that venom? And it's a protease. So it pre-digests the insect. So I said, wow, that's a good thing. And then as I studied insects and I knew a little bit about them, I know that every time an insect molts, it splits open its ectoskeleton. It has two ectoskeletons, a new and the old one. The old one, it pumps a little air between the new and the old one. The old one's on the outside, obviously. It creates a little protease zipper, unzips the back, and it pulls itself out through that opening. The last thing coming out of the legs, and then it gets twice as big, hardens, and scampers off. So in having that wonderful material that will kill any insect, I found out that it's the perfect thing because they can't become resistant. Because any time an insect would become resistant to protease enzymes, so that would mean they couldn't molt and never get big again. You'd have itsy bitsy little, they will never become sexually mature.
Right.
It was the perfect way of creating a pesticide. So then I said, okay, now I've got that. And I said, well, I thought I'd just use the protease. Well, I tried to spray insects with protease. They didn't die. I said, well, how can that be? I've got 100% protease, and it doesn't work. And just breath of protease will kill them. What I realized, the ectoskeleton of an insect has got oils and grease and varnishes and dirt.
Okay.
And so you need the soap to wash that off.
Oh, okay.
So like Madge, there was an old ad that had Madge sticking ladies' fingers in a dish.
Right, I remember that. I'm old enough to know that one.
Okay. So that what happens is that your insect, your cuticle, your nails are like an insect's ectoskeleton. That's the only thing we have that's close to it.
Okay.
And they get softer in that thing, but it also cleans the nails. So when you clean the ectoskeleton, then the protease can do it. It splits it right down. So I said, well, everybody must know this. When I began looking again, I couldn't find any patents on it. So I patented the process of using different surfactants and enzymes. But the simplest way is a surfactant with a protease, and that's because it'll kill virtually anything. But it doesn't only just kill the insects. It kills the arachnids, the spiders and the ticks. And it kills fungus and mildew and mold, and it kills bacteria and viruses.
The enzymes
do that? So it's a perfect
that?
Pesticide. So you're disinfecting with it. So like when I have people, when they're cleaning the kennels with the enzyme cleaner, they remove kennel cough, and they remove the fleas, and they remove the ticks, and they remove all the bacteria, and the place doesn't stink anymore. The poop's gone, the bacteria's gone, it's all taken care of. And when I have our schools, when we gave our schools, we treated 380 schools that we put on, we were testing and showing that we could do all these various things to get rid of pests. But when I just simply had the janitors mop the floors with the enzyme cleaner, they didn't have any pests. Because there's peppermint in there, and the peppermint will make any mouse run.
Right.
The peppermint is outside growing in my this used to be a farm. It's now a wildlife preserve. But it's still got peppermint growing wild all over.
Now, that's the mint that, is it just, you know, there's, I remember just picking mint leaves off like a weed.
Yeah,
that's
there's
the kind
many,
of peppermint?
Many types of mint, but the peppermint that we have here is just literally a weed. You can't stop it because it goes underground and stops up, goes another place. So, I mean, even though I've no not necessarily want peppermint in my garden. It's there. And I have worked hard to get it out of some of my flower beds and out of some of my vegetable areas. But what happens is that nothing will eat it. The deer won't eat it. The woodchucks won't eat it. The rabbits won't eat it. You know, the birds won't eat it. Nothing eats it. The mold doesn't eat it. Bacteria doesn't eat it. Insects
really?
Don't eat it. So it's a perfect pesticide addition. So you have the peppermint to kill and repel and act as a antibiotic in the pesticide control thing, because it removes mice when they smell it. Most insects don't like the smell of it, and yet it's not harmful to us. We have peppermint candy and peppermint chewing gum and all kinds of peppermint flavors. So my point is that using peppermint, meat tenderizer, which is the protease basically, and dish soap, you have basically the total ingredients in the Tweetman enzyme cleaner. Now, Tweetman enzyme cleaner is such that it is basically sold as a cleaner rather than a pesticide thing, because if we call it a pesticide, you then have to pay an extremely exorbitant way of shipping it. You can't ship it in the mail, because you can't ship pesticides in the mail. And it UPS makes it a special rate, so it's just simply a cleaner. But it kills all those things. Now, that's really what I try to tell people. If you really try to understand what a PestiSafe is, it's something that won't kill you. A pesticide, like homicide or suicide,
right,
will kill you. You don't want to kill you. You want to kill your pest. So use a PestiSafe. And there are many, many, many PestiSafes. As I said, starting this, if you just use dish soap, it's funny. As soon as I get on the phone with you, there's a guy out there breaking icicles off my window. Another guy calls up on my cell phone, and there's an interruption in the beginning of this tape, and I think, isn't it amazing when you're trying to talk to somebody, you got all the, you know, it's like, children, it's time to go to bed now. But there, you know, I don't have any children here. I'm in my 70s.
Oh,
I sure have people interrupt, so it's fine.
Oh, okay.
Any kind of a cleaner is what you do. That's what your mother told you, to wash your hands.
Right.
So you wouldn't have dirty hands. You wouldn't have germs. But if you and I, Karen, came up and said we're going to sell a Karen and Steve cleaner to kill bacteria, okay? And we call it the K&S soap. And we guarantee it'll take out bacteria. As soon as we did that, we'd have the FDA over talking to us because we were breaking the law. And we'd have the EPA here breaking the law, because if you say any pesticidal claim, then it has to be registered as a pesticide.
Right.
You can get around that by saying it removes odors.
Okay.
Because that implies it's getting rid of the bacteria, but odor is not a pest. Bacteria is a pest.
Right.
So
okay.
If you don't make pesticidal claims, you can still use it as whatever. But what I'm sharing with you honestly is that if people take, I had a reporter one time said to me, he'd had people come over, they're trying to kill the earwigs over by his house.
Right.
And he couldn't stand it. And I said to him, you want me to get rid of those earwigs for you? He said, well, I've had two or three pest control companies here, and they can't get rid of them. I said, here is a hose end sprayer, a cork jar that fits on the end of your sprayer. I said, fill this up with dish soap for me, will you? From your sink. Not my sink, your sink.
Okay.
And we'll put it on your hose, and you just spray the outside of your house three foot up and 4 foot out. And all of a sudden, there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of earwigs just screaming on the page. You can see them. They didn't make any sound, but you could see them agonizing, just squirrely, you know.
Coming out?
And he said, why does it work? I said, why do you think it happens when you get soap in your eyes?
Oh, my gosh.
So you could kill bugs with soap water. Just like your mama said, wash your hands. But we've forgotten that. Common sense isn't too common anymore here.
No. Well, and the thing is, once you clean, I'm sure the peppermint doesn't last forever. So how often do you have to clean, to keep that effect?
Again, if you just use this as a regular product to cleaning with, I've had, people that had they clean lockers with it in schools. It just, instead of using it for any other, they just use that as their soap. And so that the school is pest-free without me doing anything.
Okay.
I don't have to do anything.
So how big, if you buy a gallon of the stuff, how long do you think that would last somebody?
For a whole year?
Yeah.
A couple of years, probably.
Okay. Do you dilute it? Do you use it straight?
If you take the enzyme cleaner, if you take 1/2 ounce per gallon, it's the best glass cleaner you've ever used. If you're cleaning with it at 1 ounce per quart, it's just wonderful. 1 ounce per gallon, just good. Generally mopping the floors and everything. That's all you need. 1 ounce.
And
the floors are really
gallon.
Nice. Now,
wow.
if you have a really intense situation, you might put 2 ounces in the gallon,
okay.
Or maybe even 3. And it's not toxic, so that people, like when their hands are full of grease from a car, they use pure concentrate like Gojo. It takes all the stuff off their hands, and they don't have a problem because even the concentrate won't hurt you.
Okay. Oh, great.
So now
great.
Now we'll go back and say, all right, now we use it as pest control. You make a spray bottle,
mm-hmm.
a quart spray bottle, and put 1 ounce in the quart of water. And whatever you spray, whether it's mold or fungus or mildew or insects or spiders or whatever, they just die. And they die quickly. They die in less than a minute. Pesticides don't kill anything that quickly.
Hmm.
You take a can of Raid and spray a fly, it takes a long time for it to die. But you hit a spray of this with a fly, and it goes down. Mosquito, down.
Wow. I had no idea you could do mold with this because there's all this mold away and whatever, and it just smells horrible.
Again, if you're trying to get rid of mold, the simplest thing that you can do if you want permanent mold control is to simply use borax in water. 20-mule-team borax, like you can find in the laundry section of your supermarket or grocery
mm-hmm.
store. You take 1 ounce, a couple ounces of borax, and you mix that in the spray, and when you spray it on, it kills the mold. Now, I've taken borax, and I used one cup per gallon of hot water, and I've sprayed wood till it's kind of wet, let it dry, spray it again to run off, let it dry, spray it one more time to run off, and when you're done, you have now got permanent termite control, permanent insect control. The wood becomes fire retardant, and now mold or mildew or anything can grow on that wood.
Because you've soaked it
three
times?
It's got to be raw wood. It can't be painted wood, huh?
Oh, okay. Raw wood, gotcha. Well, what about...
you have a soap box in the basement.
What about, carpenter ants? I mean, sometimes, no matter how well you try to build your house, sometimes there are areas that aren't...
Well, again, if you spray the wood, they're not going to get into it. There are very few insects that can stand in an area of the basement when treated with borax. And that's a permanent control. And you don't
have to
do
anything. But that's not raw wood. That's, that's stained wood.
Well, even if if borax is a very interesting thing. It kills plants. Any salt
right.
will kill plants. Salt will also kill any insect.
Right.
So that if you take, you want carpenter ants and you want to control them, you find out whatever they're eating. Whatever ant. Doesn't mean carpenter ants, small ants, whatever. Pavement ants, crazy ants, whatever ant you got. You put a piece of wax paper down or tin foil or whatever, aluminum foil, and you put some stuff that you got in your cupboard and refrigerator. A little shot of honey, a little shot of jelly, a little liverwurst, grease, peanut butter, whatever. Just
okay.
put a little dab. See what they're eating. Whatever they're eating, mix it half and half with aspartame. You'll kill them all. Equal.
Yes.
Or if you don't want to use equal, you can use boric acid. But see, if that means that, that can maybe hurt puppy or something. I tell you.
Oh, I see.
I kill mice with equal aspartame.
Yeah, you
and
mentioned
they don't
that
even
last
smell
time.
Because it's formaldehyde.
That's amazing. Well, let's go to the next question here, which is I'm going to review what I remember from the first lesson that you taught us about mice. Now, you talked about, you know, the aspartame you can use to kill the mice, and they don't smell because they get embalmed, just like humans do when they eat aspartame because it's pretty toxic, but at least they don't smell in your walls if they happen to die in your walls. And you said that they, you know, it's food they smell, so that's why they come into your house. So, you know, I've got some of these, you know, these plastic traps that suffocates them, but I got peanut butter on the other trap. So I'm thinking, am I actually, you know, attracting them into the house just by having a trap there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can put the trap outside. You don't want to bring any food smell so that they can smell it.
But I,
you
I'm
know,
cooking
it's
all,
a funny thing.
All the time.
What happens, I had some guys over here. And they open up my garage. And the garage is not really a garage. It's sort of my man cave. It's
yeah.
my museum. I have stuff in there from all over the world where I travel. You know, there's stuff from, there's butterflies from all over the world, from Malaysia, from Brazil, from China, from all over the world that I've collected and brought up. And so I told them, don't leave the doors open. It's fall, and you're going to get mice to come in there.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden I looked, and my granddaughter came over, and she said, Grandpa, there's somebody eating that chocolate.
Oh, no.
I said, what? And you have to know my granddaughter, because she's usually trying to find a way to get hold of the chocolate for herself.
Right.
And she said, I said, what do you mean? She said, I'll show you, Grandpa, brought me the bar. And sure enough, some mouse had got up, and all the food is on shelves that is not against the wall. And how they got up a steel pipe and went up to three levels to eat that really expensive dark chocolate my wife likes, I don't know, but they did. And I thought, oh, you son of guns. Well, I went, that was towards evening, so I didn't come back until the next morning. By the time I got back, they were eating the next bar.
Oh, boy.
I said, you guys are funny. So I took a glue board, and I stuck it right in front of the chocolate bar. I didn't
All
wait right. an hour, and he was stuck on there.
Huh.
So that if you know that you're trying to attract them to a smell, when they're attracted to it, you can use a glue board or whatever trap to catch them. You know, I like a bucket trap better than anything.
Right. We've been using that. Our neighbor actually gave it to us. He calls it the Adirondack mouse trap.
Yeah, it's a bucket, and you can have it with just water in it and float some sunflower seeds or oats or whatever, and they'll stick up there and they'll come up. And or you can have an empty bucket if you don't want to drown them, and you can put a can on a coat hanger in the middle of this thing so it spins, and put a dab of peanut butter on the can, and then they'll climb up the stick, come over the wire, cross the wire, get over the can, and get the peanut butter, put down there in the 5-gallon bucket.
Yep, that definitely works. And what do you think about the anti-pest foam that you can use to foam up, you know, where your wires or telephone wires or pipes come in so they don't come
in?
Anything
that you can bail them out with is fine. The thing is that they didn't come into my place because I didn't have it foamed. They came in my place because someone left the door open.
Right.
Now, I've been at a gas station, and it's winter where I am. It's Michigan, and
winter
it's
where
a
I am
bad
too.
Winter. And so that we're standing outside of a gas station a couple years ago, and I watched this mouse jumping up the door. It was a glass door going into the gas station where they had candy bars and food, and they had... You paid for your gas. And this mouse was jumping from the outside up 2 or 3 feet, hitting the glass door and falling back down, trying to jump back through through the glass to get inside. Well, you know what happened. The door opened, he ran in.
Oh.
So you can have all the pest foam in the world, but if you open the door, you're going to get
right.
mice.
Okay.
Because
so
they're opportunists.
So it's like, you know, put your food away. Don't have stuff lying around.
And use some peppermint oil. It repels them. They don't like
yeah.
the smell of peppermint.
Peppermint, you know, I tried that in a spray. It didn't work. But it could be that there's other food stuff in the house, or I didn't have the peppermint at a high enough concentration. Because
we
baking grease that, and they like that.
You may have had a synthetic peppermint. You need natural peppermint.
No, this is expensive.
Kosher.
This is expensive Young Living peppermint oil, you know, like
yeah.
really expensive stuff. So, I might not have made it concentrate, or that the bacon smell was so intense that it, you know, was overpowering the peppermint
again,
smell.
Again, I just saying, when I watched the guys mop, they mopped the kitchen floors, and all of a sudden there were no mice. You know, and there are so many different ways to get rid of mice. You know, and it's in my book. If you go to www.thebestcontrol2.com, two is with a numeral two, thebestcontrol2.com, you got 2,000 pages of how to get rid of all your pests for free.
That's awesome. Now, you have a couple of other websites. We've got the SafeSolutionsInc.com.
SafeSolutionsInc.com is where you go to get the enzyme cleaner. I don't sell anything. I just am an advisor. And it's like a lot of the – in the last 2 years, I have written 40 books.
So this is not your website, the SafeSolutions.com?
Safe Solutions Inc. is a website that I'm a counselor for. I counsel for them and advise. I'm an advisor for them.
Okay,
those are my
okay.
products that I design, but I don't sell any of them myself.
Oh, I see. Huh.
It happens to be owned by my wife, so it's still in the family, kid.
Great. That's awesome. And then you said, now we've got, you have also thebestcontrol.com and thebestcontrol2.com. What's the difference?
Yeah. Well, The Best Control was one of the original books, and The Best Control 2 is one I try to update. And as I said, there's 2,000 pages at www.thebestcontrol2.com. But also, a part of The Best Control 2, I talk about how to heal people.
Yes,
and the back part of the book is about, it's not just pest control, it's healing.
Gotcha. Great. Well, our time is running short here, so we want to make sure we answer some of these questions from these folks. So we talked about mice, so let's talk about deer. What do we do about deer and bear?
Well, again, those are not creatures that normally respond by, they're very alert. They're very intelligent. But they're also hungry. And when you have a hungry creature, it's going to find a way to get food. And if you've got, like with a bear, garbage outside or bird feeders or whatever, it's going to come nosh. It's going to come eat. And deer are also going to come eat in your yard because it's there. They don't realize there's any boundaries. There are all kinds of things you can do to repel them that's in my book. I talk about using human hair. I talk about using dial soap. Many other ways of repelling them. You can use zoodoo. You know what zoodoo is?
No, what's that?
That's poop from a zoo, like tiger poop.
Oh, okay. I've heard about buying, cat urine, like the
yeah,
mountain cat urine.
Again, anything that eats other things has a different kind of urine, and it repels a lot of vegetarian things like deer, woodchucks, and that kind of stuff. Because
okay.
they don't want to be eaten. But if they get with the big cat, like a tiger cat or wolf urine or poop or whatever, it has, you know, oh my goodness, it gets their attention. We use a lot of lights, and one of the things that I can tell you that nothing likes is a strobe light.
Huh.
You hook up a strobe light, and you have it on a motion detector. And when something comes in the yard, they just take off.
Oh,
if you have something in your attic that you don't want, like bats or, you know, squirrels or skunks or whatever you get in your attic, you hang up a strobe light up there, and they will not stay there for very long. Most I have ever seen anything stay in there is 5-10 minutes. It's like lifting a bar of butter. How many times can you lift a bar of butter in 5 minutes? How can you do it in 10 minutes? How about an hour?
Jeez.
Eventually, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And what your eye does is it goes up and down, big,
right.
low. And all of a sudden, I got to get out of here. And the strobe lights will drive most creatures out of your attic or out of your yard. But a lot of times, lights are the simplest way, or you can flash something in there. Like, I don't know what that bear is going to like, but I know one thing nothing likes. It's called ghost pepper.
Ghost pepper?
Ghost pepper. It's the hottest pepper in the world.
Okay.
G-H-O-S-T. And you can get it on Amazon. And I usually have 3.5 ounces of it on my desk. So when I see the squirrels in the bird feeder, or I see something I don't want in some area, I said I'm a nature preserve, so I don't kill things here.
Right.
But I repel them. They get one whiff of that, and they take off. I think a bear on the porch getting a big whiff of that ghost pepper on his nose probably take off for the next county.
My neighbor suggested that hanging up a sealed bag of ammonia and putting like baking grease on the outside and hanging it up, and so if the bear, you know, comes up and starts to grab and claw at it, it'll break open and the ammonia will fall on his face and he will never come back. Have you ever heard of that one?
Well, yeah, but he might hurt the bear. He may go nuts. you know, I don't know. You know, you're not dealing with the most civilized of creatures, you know. He may not like the fact you did that to him. And he may tap the porch. I think, you know, if you just put this on the outside where he's coming up, so he takes a whiff of it, he'll leave.
Okay. That doesn't bother your birds?
A garbage can or whatever they're into, you know.
Okay, garbage can, yep.
Wherever they're coming, they don't, it just literally, it just burns. I don't know if you've ever had any hot pepper in your hands. But if you wipe your eyes with it after you've been picking peppers,
right,
your whole face is on fire.
Right. Now, do you do that for deer as well, or do you use mint for deer?
Anything. Any creature will do that.
Okay. So what about people planting, you know, their garden, and they don't want a deer eating it, and assuming the deer has other things to eat?
Well, we have planted just certain plants they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do some companion planting with the plants they don't like, they leave the other stuff alone.
Ah.
Now, in my place here, I have, at any given moment, last night I looked outside, and it's been a terrible winter here already. And what I did was, I looked out the window, and there had to be no less than 15 deer in my yard, no farther away than 10, 15 feet.
Well, they were hungry.
Well, they just out munching, playing around there by the bird feeder. They were by the apple trees. And we have, at some points, when I see that they're having a bad winter, I put down alfalfa hay for them, and I also put down different types of corn so they can have something to eat so they're not going to have a bad winter. Now, that's not reason why they're all here, but like I was sharing with you, I never had any problem with deer. I used to watch them give birth, and then all of a sudden I had neighbors move in on the east and west of me, and they put up deer blinds and began to shoot the deer. Well, the deer used to travel east to west, but as soon as they started killing them on east and west of me, they started going north to south.
Mm.
So they're always in my yard. They're not in the neighbors' yards.
Right, right.
I'm not going to harm them, and they know that. You know, and I think that maybe if somebody has deer in their yard, they can either look at it as a pleasant experience or saying, oh, my God, they're tearing up my radishes. But I don't know that I don't think deer are a bad thing. You know, I think that there are many ways you can keep a deer out with fencing or with lights or whatever. They don't like to have water sprayed on them. They don't like strobe lights. They're going to have all kinds of flashing lights that drive them wild.
Mm,
but if you go outside and
you
stand there and yell at them, if you live in an area where there's anybody hunting, they're not going to stick around. Right?
Right. Well,
they don't wait there for you to pet them.
Our other next door neighbor actually is shooting deer on his property. I'm not sure he's supposed to be doing that so close to us, but
you understand what I'm saying. You've got people who are out there killing deer, and the deer are not, they're not unaware that man has entered the forest.
Right.
So when you go out there and you say anything to the deer, like, hello, I'm going to pet you, deer, they just take off.
Mm-hmm.
You can yell at them or whatever, but they just don't want to be around you. Now, it got for years that people, they were so used to me that, I mean, they would have babies in my yard. And
right,
the mothers would put their babies in my raised beds. My wife would go out there and she said, Bambi lay in my raised beds. I can't work in the garden, Steve.
Okay. Well, we got only a couple minutes left, so a quick couple of things about any tips about black flies, mosquitoes, that kind of thing. Anything we can do about those?
If you put on a fan and you're sitting outside and you have a fan on, just a simple fan, you're sitting in that breeze of the fan, not a bug will bite you. Not a mosquito, not a fly, no nothing. Because they can't fly into the wind.
Oh, okay.
Now, in my book on mosquito control, also on www.thebestcontrol2.com, I talk about how to control mosquitoes from many different ways. You can spray the water with the enzymes and kill them, but the best way I found is you take a little dish of papaya juice or any kind of a fruit juice, because mosquitoes do not eat blood. They use blood. Females use blood to give when you have babies. They do not eat blood.
Okay.
So they eat pollen and nectar. So if you put a little dish of papaya juice and orange juice, whatever, juice, outside, under your bushes, put a little more aspartame in it, or some boric acid, you'll kill all the mosquitoes you have.
So like just a cup of it with aspartame in it?
Yeah.
Wow. Never thought of that.
See, all this stuff is very easy. It's very easy. People make it complicated. Pest control is very, very simple. When I had the 380 different schools on pest control, all I ever did was drive by, stop in and say, can I tell you the latest couple jokes? And I'd drive off because they didn't have any pest problems.
Wow.
Because they cleaned properly. That's all it was.
Wow. That's great.
It's not complicated. What we do is we think we're going to fix something with pesticides. And the Cicero swamp was sprayed for years. And they had more mosquito biters at the end of that time than when they began. Because it killed all the dragonflies and all the predators.
Right, right.
If you leave things alone, it's pretty well good. It's like if you get somebody got ticks in your yard, go get some poultry and they'll pick them, eat them up. Especially guinea hens will eat up all the ticks. It's all balance. It's all a balance.
Nature balance, right?
Yeah, and it's like one of the books I wrote was Vibrational Frequency. And one of my friends, Burton Goldberg, called me up and he said, Stephen, you know, hey kid, he's using these 88, and I'm in my 70s, so he calls me kid. He said, I've studied quantum physics for 45 years and I've never known anyone to explain it as simply as you did. And it's just a very simple thing. Everything has a vibration.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know that.
Yeah, as an energy healer. Now, are your books on Amazon?
On Amazon, yes.
Oh, great. Awesome. Oh, my gosh. We've run out of time. We're going to get cut off.
no problem, kid.
Stephen, thank you so much for being on the show. Love the wisdom. And everybody who's listening in, you know, visit his site, Best Control. Is it thebestcontrol2.com?
www.thebestcontrol2.com.
Yeah, two with the numeral two. And I'm on his wife's website now, safesolutionsinc.com, and getting some of the cleaner, which I am now running out of my other natural cleaner, and so this is a perfect time for this. And I see all sorts of other wonderful stuff that you have on there as well, and your books are available on Amazon. And we'll just have to have you come back and to talk about what you did with your healing your wife's stroke. That was a really cool story you told me earlier. So thank you again.
I will send you that book hopefully here in a couple of days.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, Stephen, for being on the show again. Thanks for everyone listening in. Until next time, Bye for now.